Jake from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John Trumbull!
Yes, really enthusiastically. Yeah. I don't know if I can match that energy.
Oh, come on, man. You got to do it. This is it. We're like in the home stretch here. The final.
We are almost through the season.
Final three episodes of the season. I mean, my lord. It was, what a wonderful, wild, wacky ride it's been.
Yeah, it's been okay.
Jesus. All right.
Well, let's face it. It hasn't been all that great of a season.
Just dragging down the energy. I'm here.
I'm trying to keep it real, son.
Damn, I'm trying to keep these plates spinning in the air, trying to be like, hey, man, it's been great, right? And you're just smack the pudding cup out of my hand. Jeez.
Oh. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? Lie to the people?
Yeah, no, you don't do that, man.
I ain't about that life.
You ain't here to make friends.
No, I'm not.
You're here to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
Yeah, and possibly make friends.
Yeah, well.
I like Friends.
Friends are good, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the TV show Friends. I like Friends in real life. I like them all.
Yeah, I like the real life Friends a little better.
Yeah, yeah, especially after that fifth season. Oof. I mean, we talked, guys, go back and listen to our little Friends tangent we went on in that our Ghostbusters Frozen Empire episode. I will admit, I was a fan of Friends up until a certain point, and then the show became really, really whack.
Yeah.
But that's just me. That's right.
By the end of that show, I was actively hating at least two of the characters.
Yeah, right? I think I know which two, because I might have hated... Because, like, they did this thing where... All right, well, again, off on a tangent right now. Yeah. They did this thing where they turned a lot of the characters into, like, caricatures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, it did that typical sitcom thing of what TV Tropes calls flanderization.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if somebody's stupid, they get stupider with each passing season.
Yeah, like Monica became extra neurotic and extra controlling, and like Ross almost turned into like a sociopath at sometimes. Like I was like, why are you doing this? These were nice grounded characters in the beginning, and now you're turning them into just like, you know, grotesque, wacky caricatures of what they actually are.
Most every sitcom seems to do that over time. It's a really tough trap to avoid, but they get very exaggerated. And then you go back and look at the early seasons and they're like, oh yeah, I remember why I initially liked this show.
Yeah, they were like way more grounded and they weren't so much. I think it's like one of those things where the writers like, oh, they like this character because they do this. So let's amp this up and pump it up to crazy cartoonish levels and they'll like them more. And it's the opposite effect. It's like how people, men like big boobs, but if you pump it up to a certain size, it becomes like really a big old turnoff.
Yeah, becomes off-putting. And
yeah, like no one likes a size Z.
I'm sure someone out there
I'm
does.
Sure somebody does. I don't want to kink shame, but like once they get like to the size of, you know, like wrecking balls, then it's like, this is more of a, I don't want to say circus freak, but you know, it, but hey, let's talk,
circus freak.
Hey, let's talk about today, let's talk about Dua Lipa.
We're here to talk about the latest episode of SNL with host and musical guest Dua Lipa. This is from May 4th, 2024, season 49, episode 18.
First episode of the final three. We have coming up Dua Lipa. She's been on the show before. We have two times before as a musical guest. This is her first time musical guesting and hosting.
And, you know, the weird thing is, I believe her previous two appearances on the show have both been since we started this podcast, if I recall correctly.
Let me check real quick.
I didn't look up the exact dates, but I believe that is. And I don't think I have any memory of what she did on either of them.
She has
left no impression on me. I know the name and that's about it. I'm like the guy from Memento. Like each time I'm coming to her, I'm encountering her for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, she has an interesting name, which in her monologue she says is her actual real, you know, Christian name, and her government, as the kids say. Easy on the eyes, and she's a good pop star, she makes good songs, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I'll admit, like she's kind of vanilla-ish and doesn't seem to have much of a... She doesn't really stand out that much.
Not leave an impression on me. And, I mean, I attribute that more to her being not my thing more than anything. But,
right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I was... This is not an episode I was really looking at with any great anticipation. I wasn't looking forward to this one. I wasn't like, ooh, what sort of comedic chops does Dua Lipa have?
Yeah.
I kind of knew going in. She's going to be a mediocre host at best.
Yeah, and I think you called it. Yeah, she kind of was. So, yeah. The first time she was on the show was the February 3rd, 2018 show, the one hosted by Natalie Portman.
Okay, that was before we started.
And then she came back on December 19th, 2020 on the Kristen Wiig episode.
Okay.
Where she was in that one sketch with Kristen Wiig where it's like they're like USO singer singing to the troops and they end up singing like some modern day pop song.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like her and Bowen. Yeah. And she was serviceable in that, I guess.
So, yeah.
It was a thing that existed. But she's here today. She has a new album out.
Her third, she said, yes.
Her third album to promote. She was recently in the movie Argyle.
I have not seen.
Yeah, me neither. I've heard mixed things about it. So she's like, hey, let me host. And let her host, they did.
They certainly did. And she, I suppose, undeniably hosted. She was certainly there for the entire run of the program.
She was definitely in sketches, and she said words.
Yes.
For sure.
She played a couple of musical numbers.
Yes.
She was the person who said goodnight at the end of the show, which was is traditionally a job that the host does.
She did that, yes.
I believe she delivered a monologue towards the beginning.
She did that as well. Yes, right.
I think the evidence is in. I believe she was the host.
She was there.
Absolutely. She was in the building. She was in the studio. They called her to the stage, she came, and then she did various things.
She was for sure in front of those cameras.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Saying words.
Yes. So let's dive into it with the glowing praise like that up top. Let's dive into it.
Okay,
cold open.
Let me just say, first of all.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. As soon as I saw this cold open, and I was like, "Yeah, this is not going to be John's cup of tea."
Yeah. Okay. We got Community Affairs cold open. We got the fake talk show called Community Affairs with Ryan Abernathy and Michael Longfellow as the host. Ryan Abernathy.
Yes. And basically, it's sort of like a daytime talk show, a community talk show on New York One, and they're talking about the protests that have been happening in colleges, specifically the one at on Columbia campus, which, if you haven't been in the news, it's been a huge deal. These huge protests about what's going on in Gaza and Palestine have been pretty much shut down Columbia University. And there was that one scene where some of the students actually boarded themselves into one of the buildings, then they had to call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Squad force team, and they broke into the.
They called in a team to just squat there. Yes.
Just squat thrust all over the place, and the cops had to come in, bust into the building, and force them out. Arrests were made. It was quite the scene, and it's something that's also happening at a lot of other college campuses around the country. It's happening in California, Michigan, I believe Illinois colleges are happening too. I think Rutgers too in Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. But a lot of students in colleges everywhere are doing these protests and camping out on college campuses, protesting what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah,
and it's a big old clusterfuck.
Yes. Yeah. So the show dives into this with not much of anything, really.
Yeah, that's my big takeaway from this, too. So basically, we have Michael Longfellow as the host of this talk show talking to parents of Columbia students. So we have Mikey Day, Heidi Gardner, and Keenan. And
yeah.
They're talking about how, this I'm really afraid for my kids because something like this could really affect them for the rest of their lives. But at the same time, I want them to, you know, protest and fight for what they believe in. Yeah, right. Just basically like that. Basically, like Mikey and
Heidi very are, middle of the road, sort of.
Yeah, very much so. And then Keenan says, like, you know, he supports all the students and their kids' right to protest. And I think Michael Longfellow says, well, you know, it's good that you support your student or your daughter protesting this.
And he's like, oh, no, I only support other people's kids protesting. My daughter is going to be going to class.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is kind of one of the main things wrong with the sketch, because it's basically everybody's playing it straight except Keenan. So it's like all on him to make this sketch go. And it seemed like at first they were trying to say, like, yeah, all the other parents, students, all the other students, they're going to be okay because their parents will bail them out if they protest and get in trouble. But, you know, of course, Keenan being a black man and her kid being a black student, she can't really mess around with protests like that. Like, they don't have the money to...
You know, that was the take I read. I don't usually read other reviews of SNL episodes before we start recording, but and this week I did read our friend Dennis Perkins's piece over at Paste about it, and he was saying that it was like they were divided along racial lines, and I was like, huh, okay, I wasn't getting any sort of racial component from it at all.
Yeah, like I mean, that's the thing I took away from it, but I understand how you didn't get, because they were kind of pussyfooting and dancing around it.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to say, all right, all right, what is the show trying to say about the protests? Are they saying anything about the protests?
I don't think they were. And I think that was the big problem with that. I feel like it was really weak. And I wrote in my notes, I was like, what even was this? Like, you know, why even hit on the topic if you're not going to say anything about it? I mean, like, they could have even... There was a story this week where some of the students who'd like barricaded themselves in, they had like sent out this whole list of requests of like of demands of things they wanted, and they had like certain food requests, like, you know, no bagels and things like that. And you could have made a funny sketch out of that, out of their demands or you know, their entitlement or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But this was just a nothing burger, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, to jump ahead a little bit, this is kind of like the teeny tiny statement pin of sketches where it's trying to say something, but at the same time, it doesn't want to
offend. I don't think it was.
It's like a thing where, like, they want to address it, but they also don't want to offend people.
Yeah.
So they end up saying not really much of anything. And it's
because it's such a hot button topic. And I get that. I get that. But then, I don't know. I'd rather they didn't even try to address it at all.
Yeah.
And do something like this.
Yeah. And I mean, Keenan was trying to pull stuff out of it. Like, I mean, the fact that he keeps saying his daughter's name, Alexa Vanessa Roberts, over, like, Alexa Vanessa Roberts is going to have her behind in class, and Alexa Vanessa is like, all right, that's something.
Yeah, and he detailed all the jobs that he's doing to put her through school and pay the $68,000 yearly tuition.
Right. That I did get a kick out of, because he knows, like, he knows that, you know, he supports his daughters to protest, his daughter's right to protest, you know, but free this, free that. You know, it's not free? Columbia. And, like, he talks about how he does everything. He Ubers, he cuts grass, he life coaches. He bounty hunts whenever possible. I thought that was funny.
That was cute. Also, I'm like, why was this even the cold open? Just because it was, like, something vaguely topical?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But, again, it's like they want to do topical humor, but they're afraid to get their hands really dirty and get really into it. Or even just find an angle where it doesn't, you don't really get into it, but you are saying something.
Yeah.
This sketch just kind of feels like empty calories to me.
It's just on the fence.
Yeah. It's like iceberg lettuce. It's like, it doesn't have any flavor.
Yeah. It was
there.
I was going to say it's like the penne alla vodka of comedy sketches, but I think even that is giving it too much praise.
I thought the penne alla vodka was the penne alla vodka of sketches.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah, like if you don't have, if you don't have a clear vision of what you're trying to say.
Yeah, there was no point of view to it. There was no.
Yeah, just make a statement. Stand by it. Have some balls, guys. Ray, have some balls.
Yeah, or even, you know, look, you could even acknowledge the complexity of the situation within a comedy sketch.
Yeah.
You know? Have a SWAT team outside the door of the office they've barricaded themselves into. They have a list of absurd demands, and like somebody's delivering the food with all their specific requests, and we get really silly with the requests, and then like the people outside the door get sidetracked into a debate about the situation and acknowledging all the complexities of it. That could be a funny sketch, you know?
Yeah, I just felt there was a better way to do the sketch.
Yeah,
than the
there's
way we
so
got.
Many better ways to do this.
So, yeah, so far, no good. I don't know why they have this problem where, like, the cold open is always just kind of the worst sketch of the season, or the worst sketch of the show. Like, I don't know.
No, I think you got it right the first time.
Like, I don't know why they're cold. Why they have so much problems with their cold opens? It's
I don't know.
It's their Achilles heel.
Yeah, like and it didn't. They didn't used to be the cold open used to be reliably strong, and now it's not. And I don't know why that is.
Mm. All right, monologue. Moving right along.
Anyway, Dua Lipa monologue. She comes out. She talks.
Her parents are in the audience.
She talks about how she has this philosophy of radical optimism, and then she does questions from the audience, and then I'm like, oh no, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh, okay. We're this desperate already. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Of course we go. Yeah. And then we go to Andrew Dismukes is playing an average Joe.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, yeah, my wife left me because I called out my mom's name during sex. And Dua Lipa says, hey, well, at least now you have more time to spend with your mom.
Yeah.
And then Bowen pops up wearing a fake mustache.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, I was talking to my doctor, and she said, yes, my doctor's a woman. Anyway, that bitch said I had to stop drinking. And then Dua's like saying, yeah, well, look on the bright side. There's always poppers.
Yeah. And then Heidi pops up as Christy Noem.
Yes.
And Dua Lipa's like, oh, nope. that was cute.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Dua Lipa says, like, I gave you the greatest meme of all time. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, lady.
Me neither. Like,
I have literally never seen a meme with you in it.
I'm shocked they didn't actually show the meme for people who didn't.
Why the F don't you show the meme?
Like, I guess
throw us a bone.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Yeah, why are you just assuming that I am intimately acquainted with all that is Dua Lipa?
Yes.
I mean, maybe half the people watching this are. Maybe I've been missing out and I haven't been seeing that meme on the right social media channels or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm online pretty regularly, quite a bit. Some would say too much. And I had no idea what she was talking about with this meme she referenced.
Yeah. I'm not interested enough to like Google Dua Lipa meme.
No.
I mean, I could have done that, but I don't know.
No, thank you. But
I don't have a high degree of curiosity about it.
Not really. So that's basically the monologue. Not much there. She seems pleasant enough. I guess she came across okay enough.
I don't have anything against her, really.
Yeah.
I just don't think she's a very good host.
Yeah, like, we'll get into that too. But yeah, I thought she, like, a lot of her role, she was, like, pretty stiff. And her delivery was kind of wooden. And like, I mean, we'll probably get into it later, but like, you can see in the sketches, like, I feel like the cast kind of and the crew kind of knew that. So
they're trying to carry her.
Yeah, there's a lot. The crew carries her through a lot of these sketches, and she doesn't like they don't give her any sketch to, like, anchor. Like, it's kind of she's kind of like the second or third kind of lead in a lot of these sketches.
I don't know. I get the feeling that a lot these days, like when they have a musician who's previously been on host. Down the line, I feel like it's just like, oh, that person made a really good impression when they were there before and everybody liked them. And then they were like, hey, why not have them host?
Yeah.
And they don't really stop to ask, like, hey, will this person be a good host?
Yeah.
It feels just more like, oh, we like spending time with this person.
Yeah, very much so. It's like, oh, she's a good hang. So let's have her host.
And I don't know if that's what it is, but.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the show was mediocre, but, you know, we went out for drinks after. And she was
yeah, cool. The after party was great.
Yeah, the after party was fantastic.
So, like, oh. Okay. All right. Well, so yeah. We got our first sketch. It's Young Spicy. This is basically a variation of something I've done before.
Yeah, the Ana de Armas episode.
Yeah. Where Devin is playing this young rapper. He's looking for little sound bites to use in his latest track. And Ego and Dua Lipa are the two women they've called in to do this. And, you know, they're just supposed to say things like, ooh, spicy, oh, you're so bad, or, you know, just things like that that they can pop in and remix in the episode. And then they start talking, saying inappropriate things like him being gay and in the closet.
Yeah, why are your wrists so limp?
Yeah, he asks him not to do that, and they overcompensate, and they talk about him being aggressive and scary.
Yeah, he gets upset when you question his masculinity.
Oh, you're holding my arm too tight.
Damn, Spicy, that hurt.
And then why the fuck do we have Keenan talking about feeding the meter?
That was just like another thing they kind of put in just to.
This is another thing that's driving me nuts about SNL currently, is this weird need to give every freaking character in a sketch an arc or something. Like, some people can just be day players.
Yeah.
Look, Keenan's been on the show for 2,000 years.
Yes.
It's not going to kill him if you just give him a character with perfunctory lines to say.
Yes, Keenan was there with Gilda and Aykroyd and Curtin.
Yeah, he was somehow performing in SNL back in 1968 with the Smothers Brothers. Yes. I don't know how that happened. SNL wasn't even on the air then, but it is now a thing that has happened.
Yes, he was there performing in vaudeville. Yes, we all know this. Well, hey there, Charlie.
Yeah, you had to use the back entrance because those were the times. Yeah, but
hey, that Keenan Thompson's a real humdinger.
Yeah, you know, back when SNL was doing it like Greek tragedies, he was performing at the Parthenon. Yeah,
of course, we all know this. We all know this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Did that add anything to the sketch? No.
Didn't
do anything except add time to the sketch? No.
Yeah.
So why is it there?
I guess it's supposed to be like sort of like a little non sequitur type of thing, just to have it there.
I think they're just like, oh, we got to give Keenan something to play. No, you don't.
You really don't.
Let Keenan just play a thankless role for a change.
Yeah. Like, I thought the stuff they gave Devin played a little bit better, where, like,
yeah.
When they talked about little Young Spicy's sexuality, you know, it's like, oh, Young Spicy, he's in the closet for real. And then he goes like, no, don't say anything about that. Don't talk about my sexuality, which I'm still figuring out.
Right.
Like, stuff like that.
And, like, later when they talk about him being a Trump supporter, and he's like, oh, and I guess you're all just okay with Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, that was cute. And, you know, it makes sense for him to have stuff because he's the rapper. You know, Keenan's playing the sound guy.
Yeah, like stuff like that kind of builds the character a little bit more and flushes it out. With the sound guy just saying, oh, I got to put money in the meter. It's like, that's not, what is that? Why would
it's not interesting. It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Listeners, we're coming in hot this episode. I don't mind telling you.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we're coming in hot because it wasn't a very good show.
Yeah, it was. But yeah,
this... I mean, even in the sketches I liked, I have some issues with. And this was okay.
It's pretty much.
I watched it a second time.
It was all right. It was funny enough, but it was like.
Yeah, I mean it's more or less the same sketch they did before with Ana de Armas. And you know, if you're watching SNL for any length of time, you're going to see that where they're just doing these Mad Lib rewrites on previous sketches that went okay. And I mean, you know, they had some funny stuff where it's like, you know, Spicy got that vehicular manslaughter charge, that erectile dysfunction. And another thing that was a problem that kind of carried through in this episode, this one had a really abrupt ending too.
Yeah. Oh my God. So many sketches had that where they were just like, yeah, we don't know how to end it. So goodbye.
And then just, so it's just going to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. Yeah, are we going to try and make the final punchline the funniest of the sketch? No, not really. It's no, just, we're just going to have something that sort of nominally qualifies as a joke and
just cut the black.
And then go to commercial. Yay, we got out of that one.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I was mixed at best on this one.
Yeah, same thing. This was the penne alla vodka of sketches.
Yeah, there were a lot of those.
Oh, boy. A lot of penne alla vodka. This whole episode was the one huge tray of penne alla vodka.
Yeah.
No meat.
Okay, so next we have our first pre-tape of the night. The Anomalous Man.
Yes.
That's a hard word to say. I don't say that word very often.
Anomalous Man. Which, yeah.
Anomalous Man, because he's an anomaly. So we're doing like a little Elephant Man parody. It's a London 1897. Dua Lipa's playing this high society lady. She sees this play that she responds to, and she goes up to James Austin Johnson's character, who's basically Anthony Hopkins in The Elephant Man, and she's like, "Oh, please, I must meet the playwright. He spoke to my soul." And he's like, "Okay, well, yes, but I must warn you, no matter how much his appearance startles you, you must not react." And we see Sarah's and some very impressive makeup.
Yeah, she kind of has that face like in that Twilight Zone episode with the
It's a bit like that. Yeah, it's a bit like a cross between the Elephant Man and the pig faces from Beauty Is in the Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah, I knew you'd know the episode name. God bless you, man.
It's one of the most famous Twilight Zone's episodes.
I remember it. I love the episode, but like I just forgot the name of it.
Yeah, and the young lady in it is Donna Douglas from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Ooh wee.
Yeah, They did a parody of that sketch when Pamela Anderson hosted in the 90s. Do you remember that one?
Right. Was it Pamela Anderson or Dolly Parton? Like with the
No, it was Pamela Anderson.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, like she took off the bandages and everyone was like, "No, she's hot."
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. I remember that.
I don't remember them doing one like that in the Dolly Parton episode, but maybe they did. That was way back in the 80s.
So. You know, I'm thinking about the Dolly Parton
episode. Their eyes were on their breasts?
Yeah, no, well, that, of course. There was, like, the episode about, like, the big hooded ladies, and, like, Dolly Parton was on a planet. She's actually an alien, and she's like,
They're like, "We're sending you to Earth, where your comedically small breasts will bring you nothing but shame."
Yes, look at her breasts; they're so small.
Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking about. But yeah, I mean, for this sketch,
I wish I was watching the Dolly Parton episode again.
It's a good one. It's a good one. But yeah, for this sketch, it's kind of a slow burn because it's kind of
time. Okay, here.
You are
production-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. I just had to gather my thoughts for a second. Production-wise, extraordinarily impressive. It's shot beautifully. The sets and the makeup and the costuming, they're all A+. They're wonderful.
Almost reminded me of the old Schiller pre-tapes.
Yeah. I don't know if this is one that Andrea's unit. Shot, but very impressive to whoever shot it. There was a thing kind of early-ish on that, like, sort of threw me out of the sketch. Okay, so Dua Lipa's character, you know, she and the Elephant Man guy, they form a bond, and they, you know, they're coming together, and it starts getting romantic, and they're eating dinner together at a long table, and Sarah's Elephant Man guy is like, "Oh, my appearance must seem hideous to you." And then Dua Lipa's character says, "No, it's okay." And I was like, "Wait a minute. Who the fuck says it's okay in 1897 London?"
I thought the exact same thing. I can't even lie.
That threw me so out of the sketch. I was like, "Wait, it's okay? What? Why? What's wrong with it's fine or it's all right?" Or just the anachronism of it for no reason. Just really threw me.
Yeah, no, I agree, because like I genuinely felt the same way, because like they were doing such a good job of sort of keeping to the language and everything of the era, and just to have her say some sort of more modern language.
It threw me out of the sketch for like a good minute because I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Why the fuck did she say it's okay? Especially, and it's even more baffling because like later we get to the turn of the sketch where they're in bed together and the anomalous man is texting other women, you know, because we hear the familiar bloop of a text message.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so the turn of the sketch also turns on an anachronism. Why would you leave the it's okay in the sketch?
Yeah, that was they should have kept it just as completely accurate to the era as possible. Just so when that big turn at the end happens, it's a lot more...
It's a surprise. Yeah, it's more of a surprise. I mean, it was still a surprise, but...
Yeah.
That just really weirds me out.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I thought that...
And it's such a small thing, and I don't see why they didn't fix that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it may seem like we're nitpicking here, but it's actually, like, if you go back and, like, kind of just replace that word, you can actually kind of be like, oh, no, it actually is a better sketch if they just kind of really...
If she said, it's fine, or it's all right, or, oh, you know, it's quite all right, or something that, like, someone in London of 1897, nobody in the Victorian era said, it's okay, I guarantee you.
Yeah, nah, it's cool, fam.
why don't we go all the way with this if we're going to be that off?
Yeah, it was I wish they really tightened that up.
And the other big handicap of this one was, again, another abrupt ending.
It's like you said, so like the two of them, I did like this one joke where the two of them get closer and to the point where they want to move in together.
Yeah.
And we have Sarah Sherman as the anomalous man saying, I just need to pack up my meager belongings. And she literally just like brushes a pile of dust into her hand and puts it in the box.
Yeah, I like that one since you did it. You had a callback to it on the Twitter page.
That's right. At SNL Nerd Show. Check it out.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty fun. And so, and like you said, so the two of them are together. They're in bed. And of course, the anomalous man is DMing other women on the side.
Yeah, and she looks at the phone, and it's, you know, like, and he's obviously sexting with someone, because it's like, you know, shots of a woman in her underwear, and she's like, I'm gonna sit on your face until it looks normal.
Yes, I'm trying to see what that snout do.
Yeah, which I think that's a funny offbeat twist. I like that. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, same.
You know, and then she like kicks him out of bed, and he and several other. iPhones fall out of his bed clothes, his nightshirt. That's what those are called, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, "Oh, get out!" And then, he packs up his dust again and starts to leave. And then he's like hitting on
Chloe
chambermaid or whatever. And again, I thought that was just too weak of a gagged end on.
Yeah, because I did think the twist was pretty strong. It's like, it's kind of like saying like, hey, yeah, like as soon as a guy, because like in the beginning you see this guy is like, you know, he thinks that he's a hideous freak of a monster, no woman will love him, and then
moment he has a poetic soul,
then the moment a woman loves him and takes him in, then he's like, okay, let me see what else is out there. Which
he's a dog.
Yeah, a lot of guys do that.
Well, I love the absurdity of him texting on an iPhone in 1897. I thought that was great.
Yeah, yeah, that was fantastic.
The it's okay and the bad ending, it knocks it down to like, you know, a B+ for me.
Yeah, like this was almost there to being like a really solid sketch, but I would have, I'd agree with that. Like, it's not. It was really close to being like pretty special, and it just ended up being okay.
Yeah, I'd still say this was probably my sketch of the night, though.
Yeah, for sure, sketch of the night.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have Good Morning Greenville.
Good Morning Greenville.
It's a South Carolina morning show. We got Heidi and Mikey as the two hosts. They both do good Southern accents, so that all checks out.
Right, right. And it's like the two of them, you know, doing a little banter back and forth. Just corny white people morning show hosts.
Yep, yep. And then they start talking about the Drake-Kendrick Lamar feud.
Yes.
Which, I've only seen like some buzz about this online, and I followed a link this morning to see like, okay, let me get a little, see if I can get a little background so I can understand the basics of this at least. Cause you know, I'm a white dude who doesn't listen to much rap. Mm-hmm. So I don't know this, but even I heard, oh yeah, these two have beef. They're feuding. They're releasing diss tracks about each other. And that is about the extent of it that I have absorbed. Cause I started reading this piece and it's like quoting lyrics from songs I've never listened to. And it didn't really, it was just like, oh, and then this one said this about him, and then Drake responded with this, and then Kendrick said this, and I was like, I still don't understand why they're angry with each other.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I could get into it, but it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I looked at this article, and it's going back to 2011, and I was like, do I really need to learn more than a decade of their history to understand this little...
In the beginning,
and then I was like, I don't need to know this badly.
In the beginning, there was.
So, if you want to explain it to me, feel free. You don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing kind of started. I found a timeline that kind of did it. Where,
yeah,
basically back in March, Kendrick was on this track called "Like That," which I think was produced by like Metro Boomin and Future, and then he kind of does a little jab at Drake and J. Cole, mm-hmm. who are the two other rappers. Because like a lot of people consider Kendrick, Drake, and J. Cole to be like the big three of our era. And then he said something like, it's not the big three, it's just big me.
Damn, son.
Yeah. And so people were like, oh, that's a
gauntlet diss. Thrown.
Yeah. And so then because of that, J. Cole came out almost like a month later, like,
oh, so it's like a three-way feud.
Kinda. Because like J. Cole came back with this track called 7-Minute Drill, and a lot of people admit it wasn't very good. And like literally 2 days after J. Cole put it out, he kind of apologized for it, saying, yeah, mm-hmm. I put it out because I felt the pressure from everybody saying I gotta diss him. So like I didn't like it, and I'm sorry I did it, and I apologize to Kendrick. Which you're not really supposed to apologize for your diss track.
That's not a good rap feud when you're apologizing with the second diss. No.
And then, actually, a couple days later, he actually took it off of streaming, so you can't really find it on the streaming anymore.
Okay, this is shaping up to be a bad rap feud.
Yeah,
even I know this.
But then Drake comes back with this diss track called "Push Ups," where he talks about how short Kendrick is and how he has some pretty strong bars and how whack of a rapper he is. And then he also came back with another diss track the same day called "Tailor Made," and he uses the AI voices of Tupac and Snoop Dogg.
And, I heard about this, yeah. Okay.
And like talking, egging him on. And then the Tupac estate heard about this and was like, yeah, you can't use Tupac's voice, man. You got to take that shit down. So he had to remove that off of streaming. Mm-hmm. And then Kendrick...
And who replaced Tupac's voice? Or he just took the song down altogether? He didn't release a revised version?
Yeah, he just took the whole thing down.
Okay.
And then Kendrick came back with this track April 30th called "Euphoria," where he kind of takes some really strong jabs at Drake, and like basically kind of insinuating that Drake's like young girls. Because a lot of people have been kind of feeling that, because Drake kind of had this somewhat inappropriate relationship with Millie Bobby Brown back when she was 17. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, what's that about? And it was kind of weird. And so he kind of goes in on that. Then he released another track in May 3rd called 616 in LA, which was like just more and more barbs about Drake and his life. Then Drake came back with a track called "Family Matters." And then this one, Drake kind of alludes that Kendrick beats his wife, and it gets really bad. And
this escalated quickly.
It escalates quite quickly, and then so when Drake released "Family Matters," Kendrick that same day, 20 minutes later after Drake released "Family Matters," he released a track called "Meet the Grams," where he addresses Drake's son that Drake was keeping hidden or quiet until another rapper, Pusha T, brought, put it on wax that like, oh, Drake has a hidden son that he doesn't take care of that no one knows about. So like now he's addressing Adonis in this track about how his father, he's sorry that he's your dad. He wishes his grandfather wore a condom. And he wishes to. And he actually said that.
That's funny. Yeah, that's a good guess.
And then he also addresses Drake's parents, like, "Yeah, you raised a horrible kid. He's like addicted to pills and Ozempic," and he's like, and he surrounds himself. People in his crew are like pedophiles, and he's in like, and he has gambling problems. It gets really bad, and then. The next day, he released a track called "Not Like Us," which was like this really catchy, radio-friendly, boppy song that actually has a really good hook. And all the dogs love it.
Yeah,
and in that one, he's kind of talking about how, like I said, like Drake kind of surrounds him. A lot of people in his crew are pedophiles and sex offenders, and like Drake is kind of in on like a sex trafficking ring. And he has another child that he's keeping quiet and hidden. It's a big old mess.
Wow.
It's a mess, but it's the most exciting thing that's happened in hip hop in a while.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the part where they were like releasing tracks and then they had to immediately take them down. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could build a good sketch out of that. That would be really funny. If you have like two rappers doing war of diss tracks and then they have to take them down for increasingly absurd reasons.
Yeah,
that could be a really funny sketch.
But we got this one.
We had Mikey and Heidi talking about it, and
yeah,
not doing nearly as good of a job as Darren just did.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to the sketch. It was just basically like corny white people talking about hip hop and like, oh, who's your favorite rapper? Is it like Beyonce or LL Cool J?
Yeah, it didn't really go any deeper than, white people don't get hip hop.
That's such an old trope. That's like,
yeah,
like back in the 80s, they did that.
Yeah.
And then at one point, they're both wearing like masks of Kendrick and Drake talking about, hey.
Yeah. And then they're like, hey, let's call each other the N word. And then they break for technical difficulties, and they're like, oh, we have to take a short break, which will also be a really long one.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, and Dua Lipa's in the sketch too.
Oh yeah, she says a few words.
That shows you what an afterthought she is.
I
did like Devin as the weatherman, and they're always trying to get him his opinion on it because he's like the one black guy in the studio, and he's like, nope, not touching this.
Yeah, I had a feeling they had to put him in as like the, I guess, like the voice of all of us, the audience voice. Were like, yeah, this is
okay. I wasn't sure which us you meant there. Yeah. All of us, the audience, all of us black people. I don't know.
Can it be both?
Sure.
But yeah, like, I mean, God bless Mikey and Heidi. They were trying to make the sketch work, but it just, I feel like we've said before, there wasn't much there. There wasn't enough here to make a fully fleshed out sketch, I thought.
I mean, I just wish it went deeper, you know?
Yeah. It was very surface level.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Like white people talking about hip hop. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's it. Like, you know, what if like the two newscasters are having a feud and they find parallels in the Drake Kendrick Lamar thing with their relationship or something? Like, just give us something else.
Yeah.
Give us some unexpected twist to it.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, what if Devin is sick of them talking this obliviously and he stages like a coup and takes over the show or something?
Yeah.
Like that. Or, just give us some sort of twist on it.
Yeah. Maybe he has a rival with a competing weatherman at another channel.
Yeah. And that weatherman does a drive by or something.
Yeah.
We got like East Coast versus West Coast weathermen.
Yeah. The weatherman. Battles. Yeah. The weatherman gang problem. Or
yeah.
Yeah, like something like that would have been, but yeah, it was literally just, yeah, white people talking about hip hop. That's crazy, right?
Like, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Lots of white people listen to hip hop these days.
Yeah.
It's an unusual thing.
It's not like it was, like, again, it's not like it is in the 80s where it's just like this weird anomaly. Like, white people listening to hip hop? That's, you know, it's like how back in the 80s they had those movies, like Mr. Mom and 3 Men and a Baby. Mm-hmm. It's like men taking care of children. That's crazy. It's like that.
Look at this grand new rapping.
Yeah, it's just kind of.
That is not a thing that grandmothers ordinarily do.
The hip, the hop, the hippity, the hippity, hip hop. Oh, Grammy, you crazy for this one. Yeah, it's just the premise is kind of eh. So the sketch was kind of
I mean, when they do something just this obvious, it's just kind of depressing, you know?
Yeah. This whole episode is kind of the penne alla vodka episodes.
It really is.
Let's go next sketch. Sunny Angel.
Sunny Angels. This is a trend. And we're also talking about the movie Challengers, because that's sort of trendy right now.
Yeah. So basically...
That's a big trend I've seen on Twitter the last couple of weeks, is the 3 tickets to Challengers, please.
And... Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like, they made a lot of references to Challengers, but I don't think enough people have seen Challengers to understand those references they've made.
Literally, all I know about Challengers is, okay, Zendaya is in it. Mm. She's like a tennis player, and it involves some sort of three-way throuple type relationship.
Yeah, like basically in the movie, so it's directed by the same guy that did Call Me By Your Name. Mm-hmm. And like Zendaya, it's like you said, like she was a tennis star back in the day when she was a teenager, and these other two guys who were also big were coming up the tennis ranks, like really liked her and were vying mm-hmm. for affection. And up to the point where they were kind of, you know, like a three-way almost kind of happened. And then mm-hmm. so basically,
have you seen it?
No, but like okay. I've seen the trailer.
And, oh, okay. That's more than I have.
Yeah. And so, like, basically, like, she's poised to be this big tennis star up into a certain point where, like, she gets into, like, she has an injury, messes up her knee. Yeah. It is all in the trailer. I'm not giving away anything. She messes up her knee and it derails her career. And they flash forward to the present modern day, where she now marries one of the guys and that liked her, and they have a kid together, and they're a married couple, and now she coaches him, and like he's like the big star, and the other guy was something, but now he's kind of on the downslide. So it's like now she figures, like, oh, if the two of them go against each other, like it'll be a way to sort of boost both of their profiles, and like they have to sort of confront their past together type of thing. And like the two guys were actually also like really good friends growing up in grade school, and almost to the point where they were super close, almost to the point it was kind of, are they more than friends?
This is all in the trailer? Holy shit.
I parsed through some of it.
This is like a summary.
Yeah. Like I parsed through some of it, like where the two guys are very close to the point where like, oh, do they want to hook up type of thing? So yeah, that's, again, this is all stuff you wouldn't know from this.
And don't get me wrong, none of this sounds particularly interesting. I still don't understand why I should care, but...
Right. But yeah, so then they go and they kind of try to fit all of that knowledge into this sketch, along with Sunny Angels, which is something else I had no idea.
It's a real thing. Actually, there was somebody who posted on Twitter that they said an SNL PA came into like one store and like bought like 600 Sunny Angels for this sketch.
Wow.
Are they naked all the time, or are they just naked in this sketch? I don't understand
that. I'm assuming they're naked all the time. I literally never heard of a Sunny Angel until this sketch. I'd never heard of one, never seen one. Apparently, I was like, all right, I guess it's like a new thing, like Beanie Babies.
Okay, just did a Google image search on Sunny Angels. They are apparently normally naked, and they have like little nub genitalia, but they all have goofy hats.
Okay, all right. Well,
so that is... This is just one of those weird, inexplicable trends that happens every once in a while.
Right. So basically in this sketch, we have Dua and Marcello, and Dua brought Marcello home back to her apartment.
They're on a date.
And she says, oh, you probably seen a lot of girls' apartments. And he says, not really. Most of the girls I meet have houses. And then
quite a joke, but more of a weird non sequitur, but okay.
Yeah. And then he turns around and say, oh my God, what is that? And he's like, oh, you mean that bread, that's a lamp? No, that's, it looks funny because it looks like it's a lamp, but it looks like bread. But when they pulled it out, when they pulled out the camera, I didn't see the lamp she was talking about.
Yeah, because it's very low on the table. Yeah, she's got, but she's got like a shelf of like 500 of these Sunny Angel things, and he's like, oh, what's this about? And then we have a cutaway of Bowen and a suit that makes him look like one of the Sunny Angels, and he's like her little boyfriend.
Right.
And
then it's like, and then she's like, oh, why don't you go talk to my Sunny Angel while I go get us some snacks.
Right.
And then it's like the two of them talking, Marcello yeah. asking Bowen if they've hooked up. Like,
yeah. And then at one point he says, is that the music from Challengers? And then like a minute after that, he says, oh, I haven't seen the movie. And I'm like, well, then bitch, why don't you recognize the
music? Yes, exactly. That makes no sense. Then how do you know the music? I'm just
like, did you just watch the trailer a bunch of times? What the hell is going on here? Either you recognize the music or you haven't seen the movie. It can't be both.
Yeah, and
sketch. It can't be both, comedy sketch.
Yeah, and it's a thing where like the music from Challengers is like just kind of like it doesn't stand out really in any way.
Is that recognizable? Yeah, it's
Not that recognizable. It's just like kind of standard drum and bass.
So many weird, faulty, and subverted premises this week.
Yeah, it's just like regular techno drum and bass, like ooch 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 music. Like I don't know. So I don't know how you specifically know that. Yeah, is from Challengers, know. A movie you've never seen.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, do you recognize many themes from movies you haven't seen? I mean, only a few.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like an iconic thing, like a theme from Friday the 13th or something like that.
Yeah, like the Darth Vader theme. Like, you'd recognize, you'd know that if you haven't seen Star Wars.
Like something that permeates the culture. You're not going to recognize the music from Challengers if you haven't seen it. That movie's been out for maybe a month.
Yeah, and not everybody's seen it. So, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's not iconic.
I did like the line when she comes back into the room. She's like, I'm back with churros, the most penis-y dessert.
I did like that, because I believe there is a scene in the movie where the two guys do eat churros.
I assumed it was playing off of something in the movie that I haven't seen, And again, if you have to have seen the movie to like fully get the sketch, it's not a very good sketch.
Yeah, so it was so weird.
And then at the end, they turn Marcello into a Sunny Angel, and I don't know.
Yeah,
it didn't speak to me. Maybe if I was a 20-something who collected Sunny Angels and had seen the movie Challengers, this would have said something to me. But I'm not, and it didn't.
Yeah, like it just felt like the sketch was kind of all over the place. And like,
let's talk about these two semi-trendy things.
Yeah, like it wasn't really fleshed out, and it just seemed like, I mean, Bowen was trying to sell it.
Yeah,
Dua was doing what she could.
She was there.
But even
her lips moved, and words came out of her mouth.
She talked and everything. But even Marcello kind of seemed like he really wasn't into the sketch. Like he was trying, but it's like I don't. Mm-hmm. You can even see he didn't really believe in the sketch, and like.
Darren, would you say this was a Penny a la Vodka of comedy sketches?
I don't even know if it was a penny. I would say this was...
Oh, it didn't even rise to that level.
No, this was a salad drenched in balsamic. Wow. Penny balsamic. The thing no one touches. Yeah, I thought the sketch was just weird and not in the good ways.
It just kind of stupefying.
Yeah, it was like, what are you doing? What is this?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, you... Really? Okay, this wasn't cut address? All right, okay.
Okay.
Was there anything that was cut address? Really? Okay. All right.
Okay. Next up, Penny a la Vodka.
Penny a la Vodka, another pre-tape. It's just talking about how important events of your life, this is a thing that's always there. It's a big-ass aluminum tray of Penny a la Vodka.
Yeah, it shows...
Loved by none, tolerated by all.
We see Molly at a funeral. We see Dismukes and Chloe Fineman. Because I don't think Trost was in this episode.
No, I only saw Trost at Goodnights.
Yeah, like them at a wedding, Dua at a graduation, Ego at a baby shower, Keenan at a retirement party. So basically at every event you've ever been at throughout your entire life, there's always a big aluminum tray of Penne a la Vodka. It's not bad.
It's not that good, but it's not that bad either.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, and I kind of like that because I did recognize the truth to it. Like, the last big catered event I went to was when one of my buddies turned 50 a few months back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a catered event, and yes, there was a big-ass aluminum tray of Penny a la Vodka. That's like a mainstay of these things. You know, you get some of that, you get a little chicken, you know.
You have your slippery serving spoon.
Yes.
And your little thing of Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, I like this. I thought it was well observed.
Yeah, and it's short. It's not even two minutes.
It's not even 2 minutes. I like, you know, from the makers of Untouched Tray of Cookies. And they show like a rather unappealing looking tray of cookies. I enjoyed this. I thought this was cute. I thought it was funny. It was written, you know, very well. And yeah, I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I thought this was cute. It gets in and gets out. It knows that, yeah, there's not much to say about this, so let's not drag this out. Just like,
yeah, they didn't drive it into the ground.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best thing going for it. But it's good. I'd say it's better than a penny a la vodka of a sketch, ironically.
I would say so. Maybe a chicken parmesan of a sketch?
Could be a chicken parm.
Very nice. Okay. And
I'm getting very hungry now.
I'm starving, dude. I should have eaten before I did that.
We should pause the recording and just go get something to eat.
Hello, DoorDash.
Yeah.
But no, let's plow through. Let's do this.
Okay.
So Dua's performs now. We got two performances by her. Happy For You and Illusion. Illusion, Michael.
Tricks are what a whore does for money. I liked the second number. I thought Illusion, I was like, this song's okay. This is a decent pop song.
Yeah.
The first one, my only reaction was like, oh, she's a good dancer.
Yeah, we could see this is where her strengths really lie.
Yeah.
You know, singing, dancing, performing. This is where she shines like a diamond.
Yeah.
But yeah, both songs I thought were good pop songs, catchy. You know,
the first one didn't do anything for me, and if you asked me to hum it now, I don't think I could.
Yeah.
And I watched it like not even 2 hours ago.
Yeah. I mean, I know the first, like her big song, the one she's most known for is Levitating, I believe, or Levitate. Like that's the one that's been playing on the radio nonstop, and I've heard it and I actually like it quite a bit. But yeah, but like these two songs, they're fine, they're good, but they're not as like, you know, memorable as...
They're no Levitate.
No Levitate, no sir. But she does have a new one called Houdini, which is actually pretty good. I'm surprised she actually didn't perform it.
Levitate, Illusion, and Houdini. I'm detecting a theme here.
Yes, she loves her magicians.
Yeah, her turn-of-the-century stage magicians.
Yes. Penny's from...
Actually, like, Houdini was like... When was he? Was he... I'd have to look up what era he was. Now I'm blanking. Was he like the 1890s or was he still performing in the 20s? I can't remember.
Not sure. Maybe.
Yeah. I know Tony Curtis played him in a movie in the 50s, but.
Okay. All right. I'll look it up. But
I don't need to know that bad. I can look it up when we're done.
Okay. Done and done.
Yeah.
And just like that, the conversation ends.
Yes.
And we should also mention that. So she was introduced by two celebrities during the performances. The first one, she was introduced by Troy Sivan.
Don't know who that is.
He's a big old pop star. SNL made fun of him. Not made fun of him, but they made a sketch about him during the Timothy Chalamet episode. And the second time, Jerry Seinfeld popped out of nowhere and introduced him. So we got some nice little...
Well, not out of nowhere. He'd already been seen in Weekend Update by that point.
Yes, exactly. So we'll get to that.
But yeah, the other fellow, I was like, I don't know who this is, but the audience seems to recognize him and they seem to be happy, so that's fine.
I had a feeling it was Troy Sivan just only because of the SNL sketch that they did of him back in the Chalamet. So I was like, I think that's Troy Sivan. And then, of course, the internet confirmed it.
All right. Well, that's nice.
Yay. Thank you, internet.
All right. So, Weekend Update. Colin Jost, Michael Che. You know how this works.
You know the drill.
Yeah, we do the
Che.
And we summarize some jokes and we all have a good time.
Fun times had by all.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? I didn't write down too many notes. I really only wrote down like what the death segments were. Were there any jokes that really struck you?
I think there were a few. I mean, there was a couple. There was that one that Che told that like got nothing from the audience about like how Biden said the military shouldn't go into the Colombia protest, but he's kind of pleased that like they're not sending military aid somewhere else,
right,
or something like that. And like it was shocking at how little the audience came back. Even he was like, oh no.
Yeah, and she kind of kept coming back to you like, oh, this is not my night. I liked Che had a joke probably about midway through. He was like, May is National Masturbation Month, so nobody knock on my dressing room door for the next few weeks.
Like, I liked how they were talking about the Kentucky Derby, or as horses mm-hmm. know it, Squid Games.
Yeah.
And I did get a chuckle out of, he had that one segment about the prosciutto inspector, which he always thought was Italian slang for gay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a real prosciutto inspector, hey.
And what was the joke that Jost had about prejudice against white people? I'm mangling it, I know.
Oh, about how Trump's one of his first decrees.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Jost was like, oh, yeah, finally. Yeah.
Yes, finally. It was like, my people have been oppressed for too long. Time's up, yeah. Michael Che. But yeah, overall, not a bad weekend update.
It was decent. It was yeah. It was fine. It wasn't anything spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, this whole episode, it's weird. It seems like SNL has been doing this thing where the first episode...
First week back, it's mediocre show at best.
It's always like the ugly pancake of the, yeah. of shows.
Yeah. When you make that one pancake that looks like the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. 200 yeah. prosecs. The 200? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. 12 parsecs.
Ah, 12 parsecs. Damn it. All right. Well,
yeah.
I lost my nerd cred. Shit.
Yeah.
Damn it.
The castle run in less than 12 parsecs.
Fuck. All right. But
which is a unit of distance, you know, not time. So that line's pretty nonsensical. I mean, what are you doing, 1977 George Lucas? I mean, are we supposed to believe this is some sort of race of varying distance? I mean, what is that about?
I hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Yeah. There's that, and there are actually tie-ins that try to explain that. There's like one that's like, no, he took a shortcut through a black hole, and it's just George Lucas didn't know what a fucking parsec was.
Yeah. I just, when I hear stuff like that, I just, in my mind, I just see William Shatner behind a podium saying, telling me to get a life.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you pictured me.
Yeah, I was trying, no, of course, well, maybe a little. Like, get a life, you guys.
Yeah.
You, when was the last time you touched a woman?
Move out of your parents' basement.
So death segments. We got
Marcello as Kristi Noem's other dog, as South Carolina Governor Kristi Noem very infamously in her memoir said that she shot a dog because it was untrainable as a hunting dog.
It was a puppy. It wasn't even a dog.
It was a pup. Yeah, it was like 18 months old and just... Like, God, if I had done that, I would never admit it to another living soul.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
I think she's regretting, because even, like, the GOP is like, whoa, that's too far. Whoa.
Yeah. And they're like, we're evil. We're not cartoonish supervillain evil. Like, I mean, we are, but we're not that cartoonishly supervillain evil.
Right. Say whatever you want about minorities and homosexuals, but.
Yeah. Take away all women's rights everywhere, but.
But, like, yeah.
Shooting a puppy?
That's disgusting. Nope.
Yeah.
So, like, now everybody...
Unless voters like it, and then we're into it.
Yeah. yeah, so, like, now all of her... Everybody in the GOP is just like, yeah, we don't know her. We don't know her.
Yeah, and she's even, like... The last thing I saw was she's now trying to throw her ghostwriter under the bus for it.
Of course she is.
Like,
not...
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, the ghostwriter just says, hey, let me just throw in a little story about... me killing a puppy in here.
Yeah, but that doesn't even make sense, because like she'd have to approve it before it went to print, right?
And she's read the audiobook.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what the fuck? Oh my
God. I don't know. It's just, it's comical how yeah. how she's just crashing and burning.
Yeah.
So cutely, we have Marcello as her other dog, who's just sort of desperately trying to avoid her wrath.
Right. We can see he's trying to defend her, but we mm-hmm. slowly see it's like under duress.
Yeah, he's putting out little cries for help. He's got one of those little devices where the dogs hit the button, you know, and it says, like, I want food, I want to go walkies, I want to do this and that.
Yeah, but his says, she is going to kill me.
Yeah.
And
it's a cute idea.
It's a cute idea. And, you know, saying like, oh, she thought Trump would like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, that's cute enough. Yeah, I thought this segment was... It's okay enough. It didn't really send me, though. I mean, Marcello did what he could with it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not much really there.
Yeah, nothing to write home about.
Yeah, nothing really much there.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. Next up, we have Chloe Fineman as JoJo Siwa, who's coming out in her new badass persona, which is basically Kiss. And so she comes out.
Yeah, face makeup. Yeah, it is very Kissy.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, JoJo Siwa, of course, she was young teen singing darling. And
imagine Rainbow Bright was a person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now she's older. She's come out as queer. And, like, now she has this...
Yeah, I didn't realize that bit.
Yeah. It was, like, a whole thing. And, like, a lot of people were upset. Like, how do I explain this to my child now? With this.
I don't know. It's your fucking kid.
Maybe you should have thought of that before you had a kid. How am I supposed to explain the world to my child? I don't know. Fucking figure it out, parent.
Hey, Junior. Gay people exist. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. How am I supposed to parent my child? Like... What? What the fuck are you talking? Okay.
I don't know. Why is that our responsibility?
Yeah. Why are you putting on society to be your babysitter? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't have kids for a reason. I mean, that reason isn't that I don't want to explain the existence of gay people to anyone, but...
Right, exactly. So...
I'd be fine with that.
Right.
So... I don't think I'd want to do it on a regular basis, but doing it once in a while, that's fine.
Yeah. That's called an uncle, John. That's called being an uncle.
Yeah.
JoJo,
I'm pretty sure my nieces know that gay people exist.
Yeah, I'm sure she's gotten
I mean, they're in college now, so I know.
That was a nice turn. I enjoyed that. She comes out as JoJo Siwa, dressed up as if a figure skater joined a street gang, or, if she was in Mad Max on Broadway, and just
kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of...
This was fine. It just felt a little past its sell-by date, you know?
Yeah, because, like, this all happened, like, a month or two ago, and it's, like, we live in...
It happened, like, when SNL was off, and it feels like it got axed from another show, and then they put in this one just to pad out the runtime or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it does very much feel like that. Because, like, they weren't really saying anything about it, rather than how crazy it is that this, you know, squeaky clean... child actor, singer is now trying to be what she considers a badass.
Like, yeah, I mean, I liked that she's like, oh, I do cigarettes now. And she's like, and she doesn't even know how to smoke a cigarette. And Joe says, like, I don't think you can smoke in here unless you're Dave Chappelle.
That was funny.
Cute line. She's like, okay, I'll just put it in here under my, what did she say? Like, like where my boob is or something.
Yeah,
like
she puts it under her... her costume and their cleavage.
Right.
And then she talked about how she invented gay pop, which is something she said. And it's like, well, okay. And yeah, again, there's not a lot of there.
It's not as funny as, like, say, Amy Poehler is out, Avril Lavigne going, I'm punk!
Yeah. This is a man's tie!
That was puncturing the pomposity a little better than this was.
Yeah, they were doing this thing that SNL does where they just kind of repeat what the person actually said and what they actually did, and that's the punchline.
And they don't quite push it quite far enough to really...
Because they think what they did should be the punchline, but we're at this point now where what should be the punchline isn't the punchline anymore. It's just the facts.
Yeah,
so you got to push it a little bit farther. It's just what was said. So you got to push it further to get a punchline out.
Oh, that seems like work.
Yeah. I got to be out of here in an hour. So can't do work.
I mean, it's 4:30 in the morning. Let's just write down what she said and call it a night. Yeah.
Done and done. Got to get to that after party. Dua Lipa, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Levitating.
And then finally we have Jerry Seinfeld as a man who did too much press.
Right. And Jerry Seinfeld comes out. And of course,
Jerry Seinfeld in the news this week. Yeah. Because his movie Unfrosted is on Netflix. He's been doing a lot of press for that. He's been talking about how you can't do comedy anymore because woke and far left and blah, 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 blah. Oh, God. It's the most boring opinion imaginable.
It really is. It's just one of those... It is weird how, like, once a comedian reaches a certain level of...
At a certain age.
Certain age and a certain tax bracket.
and a certain amount of out of touchness.
Yeah, then they just become, oh, back in my day, you could blah blah blah, and now these young
people used to go home and you used to be able to watch Cheers and then All in the Family and then MASH, and now the woke left has ruined that all. And it's like, wait, we can't do MASH and All in the Family anymore because of the woke left? What?
Yeah.
What are you even talking about?
It is, it's sad.
And also, like, I forget who made this point, but it's like, Jerry Seinfeld is the least edgy comedian imaginable.
He's the cleanest of the clean.
You made a movie about the invention of Pop-Tarts, for crying out.
Yeah, this ain't, you ain't Sam Kinison? What the fuck?
Yeah.
You ain't out here in an overcoat and beanie screaming, ow, ow! That's not you.
Yeah.
Jerry. Jerome.
So I've gotten very burned out on Jerry Seinfeld over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people
because
have.
Yeah, he's everywhere, and I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily a great choice to do this from Jerry Seinfeld's point of view, because yeah. I don't really relate to Jerry Seinfeld's point of view.
Yeah, like it seemed like they just threw him in here at the last minute just to promote his Netflix movie. I will admit, it seemed like they were almost kind of close to having an interesting point, because like he does get into how like promoting his movie is almost like an addiction, and he, like if you're struggling with press, you know, I'm looking at you, Ryan Gosling, there is help, you can get help.
Yeah, and he's like, when I started this press tour, I was 26 years old and I was young and handsome. I thought
like, all right, that's an interesting take on it, but then they interrupt that by his phone going off and him talking to Univision agreeing to promote his movie. And it felt like maybe they had to like cut it seemed like they were going to go in that direction of like doing press is almost like being addicted or having an addiction. But then they cut that short for time.
I think it was just, he was succumbing to doing more press, right, even though he shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's true. But then they kind of cut to him talking to Univision, doing press on the phone. Not bad. Yeah, didn't, again, and something else that didn't have the punch that I thought it should have.
I mean, I think I would have liked it more if they just got into, if it was like more Seinfeld apologizing that he's been everywhere lately because he's been promoting so much and it's tough to say no or tough to know when to stop.
Yeah, that would have been good
instead,
too.
But instead it was more from Seinfeld's point of view, is like, oh, I've been doing so much press for my new movie, and it's so exhausting and it's draining. And I'm like, well, who can relate to that?
You know,
who can relate to that besides Jerry Seinfeld or somebody on his level?
You know how it is when you're a millionaire and you're on TV constantly and promoting and flying around in your private jet. What's up with that?
It kind of reminds me of, it was a quote in the Live from New York oral history book where I can't quite remember the context of this, but there was a quote from Tom Hanks that stuck with me where he was like, you know how sometimes you meet royalty and they're really boring? And I'm like, no, Tom Hanks, I don't know that. That is an experience that only you, Tom Hanks, and other mega celebrities can relate to. I have never met royalty. I have never gotten to know royalty enough to say whether they're boring or not. I have no context for that observation, Tom Hanks.
You know how your third summer home isn't totally clean when you get there? What's up with that?
You know how your Learjet sometimes is refueling on the runway?
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And they have to change the crew because of like a 12-hour turnaround.
That's crazy, right? Am I right? Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's just... It's like, it just go complain to another celebrity who knows what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who cares? One iota.
Oh my God, it's insane.
I'm wondering how I'm going to make my rent.
Yeah, exactly. So. Overall weekend update, okay, passable, but nothing now. Nothing to really write home about.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, OBGYN. I mean, this sketch okay, can be summarized so quickly. It's Ego and Mikey as a couple. Ego is pregnant, and they're going to a new OBGYN because their old one, I guess, like, is on vacation.
He went on vacation, yeah.
So Keenan is their new OBGYN.
But here's the twist.
Yeah. He used to be a barbecue pitmaster.
What? Why hyenas and sewers? Yes.
So he,
I can't imagine all the wacky shenanigans these guys get up to.
Yeah, so you know, when he comes in, his coat, his white coat, it has barbecue sauce on it.
Can you imagine?
And like when he puts the KY gel or the jelly on, yeah, on the stomach for the ultrasound, he slathered it on, like as you would put barbecue sauce on ribs. Like a
he's using like a brush and everything. It's killing me.
Like a pitmaster would do, you see.
And then when he looks underneath the cloth on top of her, when he comes out, he's licking his fingers like he's just been eating barbecue. Yeah.
And he has tongs like a pitmaster would use. You see. And Dua Lipa's in here too.
And Dua Lipa's in there as a nurse who's like, yes, doctor.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Punky comes in, breaking immediately. Mm-hmm. And like she writes down a prescription for Ego, but she does it. She like writes it down on like that pull down roll of brown paper that they use to wrap up meats. Mm-hmm. So, you know, instead of you're writing a prescription on the wrapping, meat wrapping paper.
Oh, I just got that. See, that was so that? Subtle. It went over my head.
Wow. This, and of course,
this was dire.
And it cuts with Keenan on the cover of a newspaper saying, oh, it will be UAN shut down.
Yeah.
Because they
did you see the little subhead on there too?
No, we don't know how to end the sketch.
It was close to it. It was like, you know, SNL gets blowback over bad sketch. And I was like, wow, that's really meta.
Did it say that really?
It literally said that.
Shit. So even while they wrote it, they knew the sketch was shit.
Yeah.
I got to go back and see that. Oh,
I don't think I've ever seen a sketch on SNL that outright admitted it was bad at the very end. But so I guess this is sort of distinctive in that way. I don't think that makes it worth doing, but.
Yeah, this sketch, it's such, again, it's an, even you, even the premise, I'm like, What? This ain't it.
This is like the type of thing that you would put in your movie and you had an SNL stand-in show. This is like the type of sketch you'd put in to show how bad that sketch show was in the world of your movie.
This is a sketch that would be in like the 30 Rock show, the girly
yes, TGS. The girly, yeah.
This would be a TGS sketch. Like, yes. Ms. Lemon, what if I'm an OBGYN, but I used to be a barbecue pitmaster?
Yeah.
It would, and
100%.
And they did it. They goddamn did it.
They did it. It was not written well, not performed particularly well. But
it ate up time.
And that's ate up time.
That's what really matters.
It ate up 4.5 minutes of airtime.
Which, by the way, no PDD sketch either this episode, right? They could have.
We really could have used a Please Don't Destroy sketch, man.
I don't know what. Like, boys, come on, man. What happened, fellas?
What's going on? Did they develop a drug problem? What's going on?
are you boys on the smack? Are you on the junk?
Do we need to stage an intervention?
Oh, dear. You're all wacky on the junk? Is that what's happening?
Are you on the cigarettes?
On the jazz cigarettes? The devil's lettuce? Ice boom, pal? Do we got to send Matt Foley over there?
Anyway, anything else to say about OBGYN?
No. Teeny tiny statement pin.
Teeny tiny statement pin, our third pre-tape of the night. Again, not a great vote of confidence for the host when we're doing this many pre-tapes, I think.
Right. So basically the premise of this one, it's for award season and red carpets, and they're talking about how celebrities who, they want to wear a pin that supports a cause, but
right. They want to make a statement, but they don't want to get any blowback.
Right, exactly. The it's because it's wrong to stay silent, but it's wrong to say too much. So yeah. The solution is to wear this extremely small, teeny tiny pin that you can only see if you like have a magnifying glass to it. So mm-hmm. like you're saying something, you're making a statement, but you're not saying it too out loud to offend anybody and get blowback.
And I think Chloe's character is wearing like a sequin dress, so it's totally lost in the dress. And
Yes. Oh, no, I think that was Heidi, because like, she had...
Oh, it was Heidi. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And they have, like, small... They have statements like, you know, pay teachers more, cease fire now, love is love, free Ellen.
Yeah. And then they have even vaguer ones with, like, a picture of a baby and a dog, and it says no.
Yes, it has to stop. And yeah, it has to start.
Yeah. This was fine.
Yeah, it was an interesting premise, like, I mean, I get what they're going for, because it is do live in a world where if you make any type of political statement, like you might get some blowback and that might affect your career. You don't want that to happen. But at the same time, you don't want to not make a statement about something you feel passionately about, or not even feel that passionately about, but you might feel like you have to say something because you're a celebrity and you have a certain obligation to say something about certain topics. So the in between, I guess the compromise is to have like a little small teeny tiny pin where you're saying something, but you're not saying it too loudly so people won't be offended. So I was like, all right, that's interesting and a premise, I'm trying to think of why this didn't.
I liked how Chloe Fineman was Anna Wintour and she had a little pin that said like, the Devil Wears Prada is not about me.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah. That's cute enough. But yeah, ultimately, I thought the sketch was okay. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Again, like, it was trying to say something about a thing, but it just didn't, it kind of backed away before it really, like, it was pulling its punches a little bit. Like, it kind of was declawed and didn't have the impact it was trying to have. You know what I mean? Like, it was trying to...
I don't know if it was really trying to have an impact. I think it was just trying to be more goofy than make a statement.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess part of me thinks, yeah, like, are there times where they're trying to be goofy? Or are they trying to say something, but they don't want to go all the way, so they pull it back a bit?
That would be very meta. This is a sketch where they were trying to say something, but they pulled away.
It is! It would be! Exactly.
I think that's more levels than the sketch has, honestly. Right.
They're playing 4D chess, baby!
I know.
Final sketch of the night, Jingle Pitch 2, which is a literal beat for beat recreation of the sketch they did on the I believe it was the Jenna Ortega episode.
Yes, it was.
Right. So it's like basically Dua Lipa.
We got a company that's it's a flooring company. They needed a catchy new phone number jingle.
Right.
And Dua Lipa's character, because she's the host.
Right.
So she's in sketches and stuff. She and Bowen went out drinking at a place last night, and they saw this band there, Soul. What were they called? Soul something.
Soul Cycle.
Sure, let's say Soul
Cycle. I'll look it up, but yeah, no.
I don't think it requires that energy. and they hire them to write a catchy jingle, and they write a number to get the number in people's heads, and it doesn't do a good job of that.
Yeah, like
This one, I think it was pretty salvaged by the performances.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my main issue was like they're literally doing beat for beat the same thing. Yeah. Like it's
another Mad Lib.
Yeah, and but they're even performing the same way. Like, you know, the way Anders Dismuke screams the first number, like one, and they do the little dance, and then 4, 5, 6, and then like they're doing the same thing. They even had. Bowen and Dua go to the same restaurant they did in the first one. Like, they went to some restaurant called Luciano's, and then they were drinking margaritas.
Oh, you got to keep the Luciano's in there. Yeah. that's the meat of the sketch.
That's right. That's the meat and potatoes, baby.
I mean, what are we going to do? Have them go to another restaurant? I mean, that's madness.
We'll confuse the audience.
What are we even doing?
But yeah, like, they were talking about getting a Soul Booth. That's the name, Soul Booth.
Soul Booth. Okay.
But yeah, then they were talking about, you know, and Ben Bowen kept saying, I want to have the same feeling I did when I heard you last night when I was dacked down at Looch. And like, there was.
Because he got drunk on strawberry daiquiris.
Right. He kept saying dacked down, you know, daiquiri, dacked down at Looch. And they said that exact same phrase on the Jenna Ortega, dacked down at Looch.
Did they really? Okay.
Yeah, like, if you go back and watch, you'd be like, oh, that's the same thing.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. but yeah, and then at the end, they even invited Dua Lipa to come up and sing the song with them. And I thought she was going to sing, but then they kind of sing over her, so she didn't even really sing.
Like, yeah, that was weird.
So I was like, well, what is... So then what is, you're not yeah. going to have your singer sing? Your host sing? And then it's
just, the one thing that she's demonstrated a talent for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just ends with all of them singing this the ridiculous jingle song. And I was like, all right.
And I mean, it's no 8777 cars for kids.
Yeah. Donate your car today.
Yeah.
And that's the episode. Real bleh.
I mean, I don't want to say let down because I didn't have high expectations, but I wouldn't say it even met my low expectations.
Yeah, like I don't want to say this episode was like a total crater. It didn't bomb, but it was definitely middling.
But it was enough bad stuff that even the good stuff, like the Anomalous Man and the Penne a la Vodka, even those seem sort of like reduced by being in proximity to so many bad and mediocre sketches.
Yeah, they got hit with a shrapnel.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, this was, it's a pretty middling episode, I'd say. Pretty.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call it a middling episode.
Ooh.
It's not a good episode, man.
We've seen worse. Nothing will ever be as bad as the Elon Musk episode. But yeah, this episode was definitely not great. I would say it's maybe one step above the Jacob Elordi, Dakota Johnson episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but just
yeah.
just one step.
Yeah,
it wasn't as, but yeah, it was still kind of
yeah, right. But not a good one. It's just there's one that's just kind of depressing to get through.
Yeah, a bit of a
slump. And like after I finished the show, I was like, I'm not really looking forward to talking about this because like, well, how many different ways can you say this was bad?
Yeah, this was, but us talking about it was fun and making fun of it.
Oh yeah, it's fun dunking on it a bit.
Yeah, always a blast. So let's get to our followers on Twitter. What did you think? The people.
Yes. Let's see. We got Jacob. He's at darkmatter_362. He says, do I have a crush on Dua Lipa? Yes. Was this episode a disappointment? Yes.
Agreed. I mean.
Cut to the chase, Jacob.
Respect. Techie at Uncle Scrooge Duck saying, not the worst episode, just not the same as, say, a Billie Eilish. The Anomalous Man gave a good chuckle.
Yeah. I agree. Is he saying the Billie Eilish episode was good or that it was bad?
I took it as him saying the Billie Eilish episode was good.
Yeah, I think he's saying it's good.
Yeah, like the Billie Eilish episode had some stronger sketches for sure.
If we're talking about like that first Billie Eilish episode where she's inviting Kate McKinnon over to spend Christmas with her.
Yeah.
That, you know, That episode was redeemed just by that sketch alone.
Yeah, that was hella strong.
Yeah.
As the kids say.
Let's see. Our friend Drew S. Rod at DSLE78 says, Dua Lipa was good. Didn't stare at cue cards and her character work was good. Especially her New York accent in the 10-to-1 sketch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Cold Open was a great concept, but poorly executed. I agree with that, except for the great concept part. Anomalous Man was the most original pre-tape in a long time. Yeah, I'd agree.
Mm-hmm.
Jost anti-white racism joke made me laugh out loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the strongest joke in Update, I suppose.
Yeah, I would say so. But yeah, overall, yeah, it was the ugly pancake of the episodes, for mm-hmm. sure. But hopefully our next two episodes coming up will... We'll rebound from that because during the break, mm-hmm. they released who would be hosting the next two episodes.
Last two shows of the season.
Last two shows of the season, going out strong. So
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it. Fuck. All right. Well, next week, May 11th, we got the one and only for the Mother's Day show, Maya Rudolph with musical guest Vampire Weekend. This is Maya Rudolph's third time hosting. She hosted mm-hmm. February 18th, 2012, and March 27th, 2021, which wasn't too long ago. And Vampire Weekend, I believe they've been on the show about 4 or 5 times now. And interesting lineup.
I was really surprised Vampire Weekend announced as a musical guest. And I like them. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I haven't heard from them in a while. I don't know if that's because they haven't put anything out in a while or I just lost track of them.
But yeah. No, actually, they just put out a new album, like I would say a couple of weeks ago, called Only God Was Above Us. And I've listened to it, and I like it quite a bit. It's actually a pretty strong album. It's a very strong album. I'd recommend if people dig the vibes of Vampire Weekend, they check out this new album because it's tight. But yeah, this will be.
Like the Vampire Weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing their new stuff.
Yeah, so this is their.
Hey, cool! A musical guest I've heard of and I'm into. Yay!
So this will be their fourth time on the show. They were back. They were the first time back March 8th, 2008, on the Amy Adams episode. March 6th, 2010, Zach Galifianakis episode. And male.
They need to bring Zach Galifianakis back.
They really do. Like his.
He was a spectacular host. Oh,
like his episode. I mean, what, the Daryl's house?
Yeah.
I mean, goddamn, what a.
That's epic. And then, you know, like he shaves his head into a Mr. T Mandinga for good nights. My God, man.
I mean, wow.
That is commitment to the bit. I mean, who does that?
That was wild, man.
Yeah, that was wild. I don't even care if he has a project to promote. I just like to see him back.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully. So, yeah, and of course the third time they were on was when Kristen Wiig hosted on May 11th, 2013. So they'll be back on May 11th, 2024.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, yeah. And final show of the season, May 18th, Jake Gyllenhaal and Sabrina Carpenter. This will be Jake Gyllenhaal's third time on the show, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. First hosted January 13th, 2007, with a musical guest, The Shins.
And oh.
I can remember.
I'm just like, that's such a 2007 booking, right?
Yeah. Remember that Garden State soundtrack?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a solid soundtrack.
New Slang, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Then he hosted on April 9th, 2022, which was the Camila Cabello episode.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back, third time's a charm. And Sabrina Carpenter, I believe this is her first time hosting a brand new pop star out on the scene.
Not hosting, musical guesting.
Musical guesting, yes. So should be pretty interesting. Should be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think both of the choices they had are fairly safe. I guess they just want to.
That's true. Yeah.
They want to kind of make sure that they end this season on a strong note. So
yeah.
That maybe they didn't. They were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't take a risk on somebody who's never hosted before. We should put our eggs in the basket of someone who knows how the shows run, can really perform, really bring this home, and really kind of go out, have this whole show go out on a big bang.
Yeah.
So, yeah, final two episodes of the season. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to both, particularly the Maya Rudolph Vampire Weekend episode. I have high hopes for that one.
Yes, absolutely. Maya Rudolph, always beloved, there for the Mother's Day episode. I feel like they might maybe talk about Maya Rudolph's, famous mother, of course, the legendary R&B singer Minnie Riperton, who unfortunately passed away at a young age. I feel like they might bring that up. And, I mean, Vampire Weekend's a great band, so I'm looking forward to seeing them perform some new songs off that great album. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to these next two episodes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Me too.
And speaking of episodes, that's our episode, guys. Thanks again for listening, as always, to the podcast. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter, because we refuse to call it X, at SNL Nerds Show. And you can follow me on all the platforms at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And if following Darren on all the social media platforms isn't enough for you, you can also follow me.
Woo.
And I'm at Trump Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. You can just follow me and follow all the fascinating and witty things that I say.
Yes, it is many.
It's an adequate amount.
I'm trying to sell it, man. Come on.
Okay. It is many.
There we go. Now you're cooking. Now you're cooking with gas.
So we'll be back next week with our thoughts on the Maya Rudolph Vampire Weekend show. But until then,
nerds out.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive Producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.